You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
I'm just believing that this word this morning is going to be exactly what you need. I've never ministered this word. This is what the Lord spoke for this house this morning, and it's called this, Birthing Reformation. We will be in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through 17. It says this, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, it says this, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared.'" And it says this in verse 24. Go ahead and text notes to that number, and you can follow along and read. It says this, "After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, 'This the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me, or in the days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people.'" Women, this morning I wanted to remind you that blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Let's pray. So Lord, I just thank you on this beautiful morning of Mother's Day that I can just feel the pure pride of the groom to his bride this morning. Lord, I ask that your presence would minister in a supernatural way to the women, to the mothers, and every single person in this house this morning. Lord, I declare not my words, not my way, not my will, but I declare your will be done this morning. Your words speak to their hearts where they are this morning. And Lord, I just declare, as Lana was ministering during worship, that we would give our hearts to you. I just declare that every part of their heart, whether wounded or strong, Father, that you would nourish, that you would comfort, that you would fill their wombs with your spirit and your presence this morning, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. And so again, that number, if you want the notes, is 817-835-9090. Just text notes to that number, and then you can follow along with all the notes from this morning. So on Easter, the last time I ministered, I talked about briefly John the Baptist being one of the greatest reformers of all time. Do you remember that portion when I talked about Mary at the feet of Jesus and John the Baptist being sent specifically to reform and to prepare the way of the coming of the Messiah before Jesus? So strategically, John the Baptist was birthed in a time and period to make a way for the coming of the Messiah. He was called to preach repentance and turn the hearts of the people back to Jesus, back to their God. Isaiah prophesied of this day. In Matthew 3:1-3, we find it. It says this: John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said this: "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight." I also told you what the definition of reform or reformation means, which means this: to amend or improve by change of form or removal of faults or abuses. Or it means this: to put an end to evil by enforcing or introducing a better method or course of action, to induce or cause to abandon evil ways, or to make the crooked ways straight. And so John the Baptist, in his word, we find in Matthew 3:1-3, where it says he was sent as a voice crying out to prepare the coming of the Lord, to what? To bring reformation, to make his paths straight. So a reformer will do two things. One, they will cry out. Their voice is heard in heaven and earth. Reformers, this morning, listen to this. There are two things that you will do. You will cry out, because your voice will be heard first in heaven, but then released in the earth. And why in the earth? Because it's meant, number two, to bring justice. See, reformers will not stop until wrong is made right. Until the crooked paths, until the sinful ways, until the injustices are made righteous, until justice is brought forth. See, John the Baptist was called to preach against this very thing. There was all kinds of sin and religiosity and everything that had flooded the heart of the Father. And he was called to make these crooked ways straight, to prepare the people for the coming of their promise. And so he called a woman to birth this reformer or this reformation. In fact, he called two women to birth the greatest reformers of all time, because in fact, not only was Elizabeth impregnated at this time, but 6 months later, Mary was also impregnated with a man named Jesus, the greatest reformer of all time. See, Elizabeth carried and birthed reformation, although her entire life she was barren. When God called her to birth, it says that she was elderly in years. She was not a young woman. She had been crying out her whole life, yet she was barren. And then you have Mary that carried reformation. And she symbolizes the one that said, "But I'm too young and unmarried. I'm a virgin. It's impossible." You have a woman that was barren and felt forgotten, and you have a woman that it was completely impossible. But God said, "I put my anointing on these two women to prove that you're never too old, that you're never too young, that there is nothing that can talk you out of my purposes to birth them when I have called reformation to be birthed." So this morning, before I even begin to preach, women of this house, no matter your culture, your age, what background you come from, the devil has no right to speak into you or to erase the promises that God has spoken to you. And in these times, that this morning I bind every lie of the enemy that would try to discredit you, when God is saying, this is the time that I am impregnating women to carry and birth reform in this land. See, there is nothing too great or too big for God to birth through you. There is nothing, because he's the groom. He's the groom. You're his bride. And you have a supernatural groom, that all things are possible, that he carries all authority on this earth and in heaven. And when he decides to impregnate, purpose, miracles, signs, wonders, reform, it doesn't matter who you are. But he just says, no, I've called now, the time for reformation now. And he's just waiting for an I do. He's just waiting for a yes from his women. See, God, I believe, is calling women like no other time in history. I believe he's calling women now to walk out Proverbs 31. If you read Proverbs 31, it is very anti what most women in the Bible did. Culture created an identity for women. Countries and governments with compromise to oppress created cultures for women. But Proverbs 31 is very clear about the woman that is spiritually strong and physically strong. It is very clear about the woman that takes care of her household and her kids are dressed and prepared for whatever season it is outside. But she was also buying land, come on, and selling and taking the proceeds and reinvesting and honoring her husband, yet leading in strength. This is the Proverbs 31 woman that wasn't exhausted doing both. That is a lie of the enemy, that if you are a mother and carrying a child, that you cannot fulfill a spiritual purpose that God has called you to be a voice in this land. I wonder if why mothers are so tired and exhausted now is because we've actually begun to walk in disobedience, or believed that the culture says we either have to abort a physical seed through us to live in a corporate world, or to birth spiritually what he's called us to. But you don't have to abort one or the other. Our God is a supernatural God that gives enough grace to walk out what he's called us to in the home and outside of the home. He's just waiting. Your heavenly groom is waiting for your I do and your yes. And there will be just enough grace to walk out everything he's called you to walk out. I remember one of Landon's spiritual fathers growing up, and a mentor of ours is a man in India. And he is a missionary. And I remember about a decade ago, he was talking to me about his family dynamics. And before I understood this, I thought his life was completely crazy, because him and his family lived together in India. But because he was opening the first women's ministry schools and Bible colleges, there was constant death threats on his family. And due to the constant death threats on his family, he had to move his family back to the States. Yet he had to fulfill what God had told him to do in India. And I said, hold on a second. Your family lives in the United States and you live in India, and your family still loves each other? And I remember thinking, like, what in the world? What kind of answer? Because clearly we're to put our family first. And he said, Heather, he said, I know it's an interesting calling, but as long as I'm obedient to the specific calling on my life, there will be enough grace on me and my family as long as we stay obedient. It was such a moment of revelation for me personally, because his family, what normally would not work for the average family, his marriage and children were flourishing. His marriage and children to this day are flourishing. His ministries in India to this day are flourishing. Why? Because there's more than enough grace when you stay obedient to carry and birth what he's called you to carry and birth. So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you are filled with his glory, when you give him your yes, when you give him your I do, You fulfill the promises because of two things. One, women, you have wombs. Your wombs are meant to carry and birth. Have you ever seen those crazy shows, reality shows on TV where the multiples, the moms that carry multiples, and you're like, how in the world is that mom pregnant right now with 5 and 6 children? No, it's not something a lot of us women are going to sign up for, but you know what's incredible? The way that God made a woman's body to be able to carry extra weight and to be able to birth life. It's a supernatural miracle. And God, in the same way, has built you women, your wombs, to be strong, to carry multiple spiritually, to be able to walk out both. And number two, there's no stopping our Heavenly Father's purposes. And so when you say yes to God using your womb to birth, and you come in unity with your groom, there's no stopping His purposes. There's no stopping the reform that He will bring. And so that brings me to this morning. There are 4 seasons in birthing. I'm actually going to have points this morning. I'm so proud of myself because that means I have to stop myself from my passion to actually give points. And so I'm growing here. So I have 4 points this morning, but they're still going to be passionate. So there are 4 seasons in birthing. And the first one is this. It's intimacy. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit is what impregnates us with His purposes, with vision. And it's consistent intimacy. Come on. It's consistent intimacy, or our daily encounters, that creates an intimate relationship with Him. Come on, I'm not talking about fleshly things this morning, but in righteousness, the picture of a marriage is also that picture of us with our heavenly groom. And to have a true intimacy with our Father, we have to have a consistent intimacy. One where we are consistently talking to Him, bringing Him ideas, bringing Him dreams, bringing Him pain, bringing Him wounds, and not hiding them away. Come on, how many of you have a spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend in this room? And if you hid things from them, how close of a relationship would you have? How would they understand you if they couldn't walk out pains and hurts with you? If they couldn't offer prayer and strength and encouragement? If you didn't talk to them about your dreams and your passions and didn't have somebody to walk that out with you? This is the same with our walk with God, that in our daily encounters, we have to open ourselves up to Him, to every part, to share this, which brings this intimate moment that God can begin to impregnate us with His purposes. See, true intimacy comes with consistency until the point comes that you know it's the moment to make a promise, which comes on a wedding day. Unity is made. This is how our relationship with the Heavenly Father, when we make that promise to Him that, God, my whole life is your life. I'm coming into one ship with you. I'm coming into unity with your will in my life. I submit my will, my frustrations, my dreams, my ways to you, God. See, what happens when we unify with the Holy Spirit is He begins to release to us promise that influences through us. See, what is conceived with the Holy Spirit is made holy. This is why our dreams, the things within you, and some of you may have thought again that you're too late in years to have dreams or desires or passions. It's not true. It's not true. This morning, I'm believing that God is reawakening some of the prophetic words that He spoke over you that your time is not yet over. Why? Because you're sitting here today. And if you're sitting in this room today, God's purposes are not finished through you this morning. Men, this word is for you this morning also. Receive. What is conceived with the Holy Spirit is made holy. And what is conceived with the Holy Spirit will produce the impossible and miracles. It will produce through your businesses what couldn't be produced unless you were partnered with the Holy Spirit. It will produce through the creative realm, the different mountains, education. It will produce what you could not produce in your own gift set unless you came into an intimate place and birthed it with Him. See, this was Mary, Jesus' mother, that had an intimate relationship with the Lord, and she was chosen to conceive holiness. We find this in Luke 1:26-38. It says this: in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin pledged in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Listen to this in verse 34. "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Look, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Receive that this morning. Verse 37, our word, our promise says this to us: for no word from God will ever fail. What has God spoken to you? For that word will never fail. What has He set you out to do? That word will not fail. That is a promise from a perfect God that does not lie or change His mind. Come on, the only thing that we can do is decide to turn our back on Him. And even in those moments, He is patient, waiting and wooing His bride back, waiting for us to turn back and say, "Okay, yes, I do." And when we turn back, He's ready, not saying, "You have to make up all that time. You have to make up that decade." Come on, some of you need to receive this morning that thought, because you turned away from Him, that you have to make that time back. But the grace of God is sufficient. The time is now. The time is now to birth what He has placed in you to birth. His words cannot fail. Come on, that's when He begins to download specific strategy. Come on, sometimes we get impregnated with the purpose, with the idea, with the business, with the nonprofit, and then we forget to continually go back to Him as if He was just there for the moment to impregnate us. But how many know your kids need a dad on a daily basis? Come on, the purpose within you needs a heavenly father on a daily basis. Sometimes that waiting time is just Him waiting, coming back, asking for specific strategy from heaven before He can release the next steps of your business and nonprofit or whatever it is over your family, what school they're supposed to. Come on, you have a groom that is waiting because He wants to give His words, His say, His strategy, His will into your life. See, intimacy with the Holy Spirit not only impregnates you, but it strengthens you to carry the promise. That's our second point, is carrying. That's our second season of pregnancy, spiritual pregnancy, is carrying the promise. See, carrying a pregnancy can be one of the most uncomfortable seasons in being pregnant. A lot of the women that have been pregnant know this to be true. See, this is the time when spiritually you will experience the lies of the enemy. You will hear the lies that you're going to miscarriage. You're going to hear the lies that your baby won't be healthy. You're going to hear the lies of the enemy that you're not prepared or qualified to mother this child. You are going to have the nightmares and the dreams that you don't feed or that you drop the baby. And this is a time when the enemy really comes in to begin to question you and whether or not you're qualified to carry this purpose. All the while as you carry and you're hearing these lies, see, you're physically getting more and more uncomfortable. You begin to physically grow and stretch and you're unable to do the things that you could do before. But hear this morning, growing is supposed to be uncomfortable. Stretching is supposed to be uncomfortable. Come on, when we say, yes, God, I'm going to carry your purpose on earth, which is so much greater than our own, don't you know that he's going to begin to stretch you in some ways to prepare you for what he wants to birth in this earth? There's going to be some internal things that he causes you to look at. There's going to be some pressures that you begin to feel that are outside of decisions that you had to make before. And that's causing you to come back and kneel before him and hear him clear. Depend on him and not your own strength. See, this is an uncomfortable season of carrying pregnancy. This is why so many people never make it to birthing their vision, because they stop at this point. The uncomfortable place is too uncomfortable, and I don't like the newness, or God, the things that you are asking me to work on. I can't go back to those places and forgive. I've swept it under a carpet. I don't want to think about it. God, this is too uncomfortable. And so I know it was exciting at the beginning at the altar when that man was prophesying over me in front of thousands of people and I felt your presence and I was excited to be impregnated. But now the carrying is difficult. But now the carrying is uncomfortable. And maybe I should just push this pregnancy aside. Maybe I should abort or miscarry myself because I don't know if I can continue to carry what you said you thought I could carry. See, exhaustion begins to hit. You begin to nourish this miracle inside of you, this dream, and exhaustion hits. You start sacrificing things that you used to love to do, that you used to love to eat, because you are focused. And all of a sudden, with all the sacrifice and all the uncomfortableness and all of the growing, come on, it gets heavy. There's a new weight you begin to carry, and we begin to wonder, God, am I made to carry this? See, in these moments, all of your focus has been pulled away from so many other things, relationships, stuff, because you are focused on carrying this promise. And you begin to feel the people around you pull and tug. You're not how you used to be. You're so focused. You're so, and with all the other pressures and then trying to meet needs around you and other kids' needs around you, we begin to question what we originally cried out for from God. Luke 1:24 says this. See, this is where the hiding place. This is where the hiding place begins and continues until the birth. Luke 1:24 through 25 says this. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden. She kept herself hidden. Can you imagine Elizabeth going into a hiding place when she's felt forgotten her entire life? When she's felt hidden her entire life. God, I've been crying out for decades for this promise. See, there was a shift that took place in Elizabeth. That now she knew, I'm running into my hiding place because now I realize that there has been a shift because now my hiding place has revelation. Come on, now my hiding place has purpose because it's supernatural, because I am impregnated with something that I can't just conceive with the Holy Spirit, but I have to carry with the Holy Spirit. I have to prepare with the Holy Spirit, and I have to birth with the Holy Spirit. And so Elizabeth goes into hiding because she knew that this wasn't her promise, but it was their promise. And some of us have fought this hiding place thinking God has just forgotten me. Lord, why don't I have hundreds of thousands of followers? Why doesn't my organization have more recognition? Come on, we go through all of these things and questions where the enemy tells us that our hiding place isn't what it is, but our hiding place, it's a supernatural place where God partners in the whole process of the birthing. With a promise inside of us. We cannot abort the hiding place. See, the aches and pains, they're signs of the shifting that takes place. This new weight, you know, when you're pregnant and you begin to shift, you feel these aches and pains because you begin to carry what you couldn't carry before. And in this place, when God is supernaturally calling you to carry something, there will be a supernatural strength and grace to continue to carry the new weight because it's a supernatural weight. See, the preparation begins to steward this life and a miracle. Women, can I just tell you, men, even in this room, don't fight your hiding place. Don't fight being hidden with him. People in their own gifts that abort this time may make it real quick to the top. But it matters how you finish, not just how you start. And those that finish strong are the ones that take the Holy Spirit with them in every season of the pregnancy and birthing. We have to allow ourselves to be hidden. And the third is preparing. Preparation is making the way for the promise to come. Preparation is making the way for the promise to come. So you begin to prepare everything around you for this miracle. You begin to make a room or make room for this miracle to enter the world. If you are preparing to birth a miracle, if you are preparing to birth reform, you have to make room in your life, spiritually and in the physical realm, to make room for what God wants to birth through you. See, you go through this thing where the doctors begin to pull you into doctor's appointments consistently, more rapidly, every week, every few days. Why? Because they start checking for signs of the miracle that's to come. They start checking for signs for this labor to come. See, when we prepare to birth reform, this is the time that we prepare the way, that every part of our sense, everyone around us has seen the growth. They can now see the growth at this point. It begins to affect everyone around you, from doctors, parents, showers taking place. This is the point that now your preparation to birth reform has activated those around you. See, this is when his presence begins to affect and influence what is in us, around us. This is not the time to question an expectant mom, but to cater to her. Come on, how many know at the preparation time when she's getting ready to birth, there's a different sound that comes from her? There's a different just agitation almost, because you are in preparation mode to birth this child. This is the time that people around begin to cater and serve what? The vision, the miracle, the thing that is coming forth. See, there will be those that are called to prepare with you. Luke 1, 41 through 45 says this. For behold, this is Elizabeth in her hiding. And in verse 44, it says this, for behold, when the sound of your greeting, this is Mary that has come. I'll just read the whole portion. It says, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her from the Lord. See, the weight is not meant for you to carry alone, women. The weight is not meant for you to carry alone. This is why we have the Holy Spirit. And this is why he allows others that are pregnant around you to come alongside of you. Come on, Mary had traveled a long ways. Get this picture, because this is one of the most beautiful pictures of women in unity carrying out purpose together that I think is in the entire Bible. Mary, pregnant herself, carrying the Messiah. Okay, no cars and no highways, decides I'm going a long distance. I'm investing time and energy, although I'm carrying my own reform, although I'm carrying my own promise, and I am going to Elizabeth because what's in me isn't just important, but what's in her is important to fulfill the entire picture of reform. See, God will call women. You're not called to do it alone. Isolation, it's a tactic of the enemy for you to get to think that what you're doing isn't important, that nobody cares. It's to get you into a defeated moment to abort all that he's called you to birth. But this morning, I'm telling you that there are Marys. There are Marys that God is sending. We are called to be the Marys that are willing, although we are pregnant ourselves, that we are willing to go a long way and take a long time to carry the reform, to carry the purposes in other women. Husbands, sometimes this is your call to notice, man, this calling is on my wife. I'm picking this up and I'm carrying it with you in unity. This is such a beautiful picture because women, there will be times when you are spiritually pregnant and God will call you to go serve another woman who's spiritually pregnant, another ministry, another vision, when you are spiritually pregnant and you would think to yourself, but God, I need them to come to me. I need them. But see, it's the moments like this when pregnant ones come together that reformation, something greater is birthed together than what would have been separated. When we birth together the influence in this world, the shaking that the world will feel will be so much greater than what we can individually do. This is something as a church, as Christians, I feel like we haven't grasped a hold of yet, but the time is now. Unity is a powerful thing. And when we begin to pick up the pregnancy, the caring, the preparation, and the birth together, I believe we see, that's when we see a great awakening and reformation in our earth. This is so beautiful. Luke 36 through 38, it says this, that there was also a prophetess named Anna of the tribe of Asher, who was well along in years. She had been married for 7 years and then was a widow to the age of 84. Listen to this. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. And it says this, coming forward at that moment when John the Baptist was birthed, it says this, she gave thanks to God and spoke, and I'm sorry, this is of Jesus, and spoke about the child to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. I feel like we are in a time now, the world is waiting for a great awakening, a great reformation. And there will be those that may not show the signs of pregnancy, but are carrying it because they are at an altar in their home, at an altar in their church, daily worshiping, praying, fasting, calling on heaven for reformation to come until he impregnates those that are called to birth. See, both places and positions are completely necessary to birth what God is calling the church to birth. I'll never forget that when I went, the Lord spoke to Landon and I that with Jackson Porter, our third, that we were supposed to believe for a supernatural birth, which means no epidural. Praise Jesus. It means no, nothing. We're just supposed to go natural. But more than that, it was just an intimate time with the Lord and carrying and believing. And we'd had a couple prophetic words that the Lord was going to teach us in supernaturally birthing Porter and how to supernaturally birth this church. And the Lord was using it as a parallel. And let me tell you, the Lord ministered to me personally in writing this sermon of some of those moments. And one of those specific stories is we were in that labor moment. Okay, we're in the room. And how many knows when that shift takes place, like the uncomfortable goes and the pain just comes, you know? And I love those that have the supernatural stories that experienced no pain. That was not my scenario. Unfortunately, I had a quick labor, praise Jesus, though, because Peyton was about 42 hours long of labor, but you were so worth it, child. So in this moment, I think I'm like somewhere around an 8 or a 9, you know, ready, you know, within an hour or so to give birth to Porter. And I remember I had this young nurse, which was okay in the beginning because I was in my own realm with the Lord. I mean, I'm just praying. We have worship on. Landon's hiding in his hiding place in the back corner because we birth together, and apparently it's as hard on him as it is me. God will continue to give more revelation in that. But anyways, a shift took place. And a new nurse walked into the room. And thank God for this woman, because all of a sudden, I didn't know what she looked like because it was in that intense moment, but I heard her voice. And she began to speak to me like she knew me. She took authority over this room and she began to tell me exactly what I was feeling, what was going to help alleviate it, telling me how to get up out of this bed, stand on your feet, do this, do that. And I tell you what, this woman carried such a knowledge and authority in her voice that I did everything she told me to do. And I will tell you this, that woman knew exactly what I needed in the exact moments. She was in my ear saying the very things I needed to get that baby out. Women, there is an anointing on every calling to birth reformation. Whether you're the one, the spiritual mom, that's the one interceding, taking authority, saying, stop being emotional and crazy. You're not giving up right now. You will not give up right now. You will birth this thing. You are not giving up right now. Sometimes this is the husband's job to speak into the wife, to remind them of what God originally said. That brings me to birthing. So you've conceived promise through intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You've carried through all the uncomfortable pains and growth. You've allowed yourself to be hidden. You've welcomed the Holy Spirit's preparation process so you can prepare the way of the coming of this promise, and now it's time to birth. I'll tell you what, when it gets to that point to push that baby out, there is an organic cry that comes out. What do I mean by organic? Something you didn't plan and a sound that you haven't done before. There is an organic cry that comes out when you birth promise. And it is one of the most supernatural emotions that you will ever feel, because in one of the most painful moments, you have the most extreme joy and excitement you've ever felt, because in seconds, you're about to come face to face with your miracle. There is no other pain or cry like it. Because in moments, the purpose of that cry means I'm about to hear. Everybody in that room is waiting to hear one other cry that your cry produces. And that is the cry of life. That is the cry of a miracle. And spiritually, when we are birthing, there is a cry that will come out of the church. There is a cry that will come out of his women that says, Lord, the time is now. Our city needs you. God, our city needs your mercy, your compassion, your grace, our nation, God. We need a great reformer like you to make the crooked way straight. Come on, there will begin to be an organic cry where you don't care what anybody else around you thinks, but you will cry out for what you are impregnated with to bring it forward. There is a supernatural strength that comes in this moment. At one moment, what you thought was impossible, the next second, you're looking at your miracle. I can guarantee you that Elizabeth and Mary cried out as they birthed their promises, but that produced reformers that would cry out in the wilderness and from a cross. Come on, we know coming off of Easter, Jesus on the cross, he cried out for us. He cried out to his heavenly Father. And Isaiah 43 through 5 says this. It begins by saying, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places is plain. This is the vision of reformation, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See, when reformation is birthed, it means every mountain is made low. Every giant is taken out. Whatever was once standing in your way is now flattened and humbled. Come on, with the authority of God, the seed of faith that he impregnates us. Isn't it interesting that the Bible in Matthew 21:21 says this, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. Why don't we do this? Do we believe it, women? You know what's interesting? I wrote in my notes that we can speak to mountains and giants to leave and to be gone. And I instantly got this intimidation that said to me, well, aren't you haughty and prideful to think you can speak to a mountain or giant? And I took it out of my notes. I thought, oh my gosh. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brings me to Matthew 21:21. This is Jesus' words. But also, you can say, women, moms, you can say, what are mountains? Mountains are the thing that are in the way of your promise. Mountains are the things that are in the way of reformation. And he has given authority to the church, to his bride, to speak to those giants and those mountains to be removed. Come on, I want faith to rise up in you this morning, that you realize the authority that you carry within you. If you have asked Jesus Christ into your life, if the Holy Spirit has come upon you like he did Mary, like he did Elizabeth, don't you know this morning that you can speak to any intimidating thing standing in the way of your family, standing in the way of that prodigal son coming home, standing in the way of that business or nonprofit being birthed, stand in the way of whatever miracle it is that you are called to believe for. You take the authority of heaven and you say to that mountain, you say to that giant, in the name of Jesus, be removed. And why can I say it to you, devil? Because the word of God says from Jesus himself, I can speak to this mountain. I can speak to the giants of this nation. I can say, be gone in Jesus' name. See, right before that, it says this to the fig tree, what he was talking about. As Jesus was returning to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it but found nothing on it except leaves. And he said this, may you never bear fruit again. And the tree immediately withered. Women, this is the authority you carry. You know what bearing fruit looks like. You know what carrying promise feels and looks like. And when we look at a world that pretends to bear fruit, but there's none to be seen, but is influencing our children, is influencing education, is influencing government. Don't you know that's why we need pure, righteous, justice-filled mothers now more than ever that know who is in the inside of them to speak to these fruit trees, to speak to these fig trees, to speak to these mountains. Be gone. So that righteousness can rise up. So that justice can rise up. So that purity can rise up. Come on. You're getting it. You're getting it. He's impregnating you this morning already with the seed of faith. He's impregnating you grandmothers this morning with the seed of faith to speak over your grandchildren. Yes, you will serve God all the days of your life. Come on. He's put a seed of faith in you for a righteous legacy, for legacy with justice that turns the wicked away and calls forth and promotes righteousness. Come on, he's here this morning. He's impregnating you women this morning. So this is what I prophesy over you this morning. Lift your hands, women. May you be the tree that bears holy fruit, that blooms in his full season. I declare that you will not believe the lie of the enemy that your promise was miscarried. I prophesy over you this morning that you will submit your heart to the Holy Spirit in every part of the carrying and preparation process. I prophesy over you this morning, women, that you will carry, you will prepare, and you will birth together in unity. I prophesy over you this morning, women. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Because when you partner with a supernatural God, he brings supernatural strength and supernatural promises through you. So I declare, Lord, let your women bear fruit. Let them bear supernatural pregnancy this morning. I declare, wombs be filled with wonders. Wombs be filled with miracles. Wombs be filled with signs. Wombs be filled with reform that changes our nation and cities, oh God.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.